Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. Stay connected by following us on social media at Freedom House OC. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, as you remain standing, grab your Bibles and your message outline. I'm going to jump right into the Word of God, and I am thrilled today to share with you this message. And that's, again, I know I use those words, and it's not an overstatement, because I really believe what I'm going to share today will change the way we view prayer for the rest of our lives. Not because of my message, but because of God's Word. I'm going to show you some scriptures today as we get ready to enter our prayer and fasting that I believe are going to give us a perspective that we will see prayer from a new light based upon what God would reveal to us and how He wants us to view prayer and the effect of prayer. And so today, as we kick off 21 days of fasting, there's a few things we gave you. One of those is a fasting prayer request. When you walked in, you saw a big old prayer wall. I want you to put that prayer on that wall, because we're going to believe God over the next 21 days. Come on, somebody, that miracles are going to happen. And I'm going to believe that every prayer that is on there is going to go from our prayer wall to our praise report wall of all the answered prayers over 2018. And, you know, I hope that you're planning on jumping in at some level with fasting, but the truth is every single one of us should all jump in at the level of prayer. Okay, we all. Because how many know that prayer is not our last resort, it should be our first response. And the truth is, a lot of things in our life that went wrong, it was probably because we didn't first start with prayer. If we would go back and be honest, be like, I should have probably prayed about that one before I jumped into it, you know? And so we're going to cover that with prayer. And so this morning, we're going to share that. Then at the end of the service, we're going to anoint everybody with oil. Again, if you'd like to be anointed with oil, we're not going to force you to sit down. I mean, and so we're going to pray for you, myself, Pastor Marie, our church elders, we're all going to anoint you with oil, as well as we got a devotional that we wrote and that put together that we're going to give to you. We thought about, you know, we had to get it printed. It's a nice one too. Come on, we went next level with our devotional. Let's go, somebody. And so we're going to, in our cafe salon, we're like, no, we're just going to bless everybody. We're going to give them away. And so we're going to bless you with our journal, our 21-day prayer journal. And so after we anoint you, we'll give you that journal. And then as a church family, we're going to be focused together, praying and believing God. I can already hear the devil saying he got a headache based upon what's going to happen when a church starts praying. Amen. So we're going to jump into this. Grab your Bibles and go with me to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And I want to read today, being that we're going to begin the Daniel fast, where that comes from, the Daniel fast, as well as the effects of prayer based upon the Daniel fast. Daniel chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 2 and 3. Then we're going to jump down to verses number 12 through verse number 13. And I believe God is going to speak to us here together as we prepare our hearts to seek Him, not just for 21 days, but the 21 days is going to turn into a lifestyle of seeking Him. Are you there? Okay. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 to 3. And I want you to see here how God works on behalf of Daniel praying and fasting. Verse 2, the Bible says, when this vision came to me, he says, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 whole weeks. How many weeks? Now, when it says mourning, it wasn't that he was just, you know, sad, but it was actually a state of fasting. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, when people went into mourning, they went into a season of fasting and prayer, intense prayer. The Bible says in verse 3, all that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips. Here's the Daniel fast. No sweets, no meats. He said, I didn't eat no sweets, no cheesecake. Come on. None of that. No sweets and no meats. Self-denial, fast. He says, and I also used no fragrant lotions until the 3 weeks passed. No fancy lotions. I'm just joking. Come on. But the fragrant lotions, what does that mean? I didn't mean to take a shower. What that means is, in the cultural context, they would use these lotions, and he would participate this oil in the worldly system. So by him saying he didn't do that, what he was saying was, I disconnected from the worldly system. And there's nothing more powerful than disconnecting sometimes to connect to God. Just believe me. I think some of us, that might even be harder to fast things like social media. Oh, I went to social media, brother. Uh-oh. I got a little drum roll on that one. Okay. But I disconnected from that. All right, let's move on. Jump down to verse 10. As Daniel was fasting, I want you to see what happens. An angel visits him, and just then a hand touched me, Daniel says, and lifted me. Still trembling to my hands and my knees, and the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I'm going to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Verse 12. The angel then said to Daniel, he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven, and I have come in answer to your prayer. My God, I can't wait to talk about that. Based upon his prayer. 13, we're going to see spiritual warfare here. But for 21 days, the angel said, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Notice fasting 21 days, breakthrough came after 21 days. 14, now I am here to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns yet a time to come. Verse 12 said, from the first day you began to pray, I came in response to your prayer. I want to talk to you today, a message I've entitled, The Fasting Effect. The Fasting Effect. The Fast Forward Effect. I'm sorry, the Fast Forward Effect. Because when we start fasting, we start doing, watch how things are going to be released based upon your prayers. Come on, somebody. Amen. I can't wait to share with you this message. Let's pray one more time. Bow your head. Father, we thank you for your word. And now as we come to the portion of the service, we hearken our listening to you, to the word of God. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And so now, God, we lend to you our ears, our attention. We open our spirits, we open our hearts to receive the perfect word of God, the imperishable seed, the Bible says, that will bring birth inside of us. We love you, God, and we're ready, Father, to see you move like we've never seen you move before. We're hungry for you. Speak to us, encourage us, give us insight, revelation, reveal to us, Lord, what is taking place in the spiritual realm while we are fasting and praying in the physical realm. Let us as a church come into unity, and may heaven come to earth based on the prayers and the fasting that's going to take place. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody who loves God say amen. Come on, give God one more hand clap. You may be seated. Tell the person next to you, I'm getting closer to God in 2018. Tell them that. Say, I'm getting closer to God. If they scooted away from you, let them scoot away. Come on, somebody, when you said that. Hey, I want to welcome all those who are going to watch us on our television program, My Heart After God, and also listen to this via podcast. They're in the room with us. Amen. 2018 is going to be a good year. I really believe it. And I'm going to tell you why. And it's because you're starting it in the house of God. And whenever you start something with God, you better get ready. Come on, somebody. But as we position ourselves for fasting and praying, I'm going to start here with this thought in mind is if I like things to move fast sometimes, and just kind of, I have this mentality sometimes when I think about things moving in my life that I often just wanted to, let's just get this over with. You know, like, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's get it done. Let's move on. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're not. I don't know. Maybe you love to wait. I don't. Come on, somebody. But you know, when I think about certain things, I just want to hurry up and get moving. Like, for example, when I'm at the dentist, come on, doc, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Because we're witches. Okay, done. Let's keep moving. Come on. You know, I oftentimes just want to get moving. You know, when I'm on the freeway, how many just wanted to get moving? Let's go on the 5 freeway. But I want those. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. You know? And then, like, everybody stopped, and then you figure out that it was because someone got a flat tire, but everyone had to stop and look. Like, really? Come on, someone. Let's go, right? I mean, when I, like, you know, sometimes I just want things to get moving, you know, and I want to get it fast. Like, I'll be at the grocery store, and there, I see 12 checker stands, but only 2 are open. Come on. Don't say no names, right, of any stores. But, you know, you're like, I just want to buy this peach because I'm on the Daniel fast. Come on. Like, you know, there are times I'm just like, can we just, let's go. Let's get this moving. Come on. Let's hurry this up. You know, I want to get there quicker. I'm not into trying to waste time. I'm like, or for me, sometimes I think it's a waste of time, but I want to move forward faster. And what I've realized is in life, There are certain things that, yeah, they might get faster, but when I read the Bible, that oftentimes God is not in a hurry. Have you figured that out yet? He's like, he got all the time in the world. You're like, I got all the time. I figured out that God, oftentimes, he's not in a rush. But many times, God is into developing us, and he's into actually teaching us something while we wait. And, you know, I know that seasons of waiting, because you read the Bible, there are seasons of waiting. The Bible talks about these seasons of waiting and these seasons of waiting and of these men of God where God is building stuff. And this season of wait is a season that we'll all experience. I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amens on that, but that's all right. Come on. But when you're in a season of wait, let's all be honest, aren't you sometimes wondering, like, God, can you hurry up? Can you open another checker stand? Come on, somebody. Can we just get moving? Is somebody looking at a flat tire on the side of the road? We got to get moving. But oftentimes in waiting seasons, we'll often feel like, God, can we hurry up? Because I want to move into the next season, or I want to step into something. And then sometimes in a season of waiting, we'll even wonder, God, are you still there? See, I know what it is to wait. And if we're all honest, we've all been there before. For myself, I've been in those seasons of wait, and those seasons where it's like, God, are you going to do anything? I remember my wife and I, we got married. For the first 5 years of our marriage, we couldn't have kids. Now, we didn't know it was going to be 5 years. Now I could say that looking backwards, but after 1 year, 2 years, doctors diagnosed us that we had two of the three leading causes of infertility, and we couldn't have kids. And I mean, we couldn't even get pregnant. There wasn't even like a positive nothing. And we wondered, are we ever going to have kids? And we're praying and we're fasting. God, is this ever going to happen? And we're worshiping and we're waiting, but nothing's happening. And we're just in this season of waiting. I know what it is to wait. And maybe you know what it is. If you've never been there, you live a little and you'll get there. I know what it is to be waiting on a doctor's report, wondering what's the results going to be, good or bad. You're just kind of in this waiting process of how's this going to turn out? I know what it is to wait sometimes, and even being a parent, have to wait it out when your kids are crying. Come on, somebody. You're like, when's it going to stop? My daughter Zara, she's 9 months, and she abhors the car seat. So you just got to suffer for Jesus while you're in the car. And he's like, I'm going to add her to my fasting list. May she love the car seat. All right, amen. You said miracles, right? Okay. You just got to wait it out. I know what it is to wait oftentimes to, you know, when I was in business and waiting for maybe that business deal, thinking, I wonder if they're going to accept my offer. I know what it is to wait to submit your application maybe into a sphere that you've always wanted to be in and a certain field, and you're just kind of waiting. Are they going to call me back? Are they not going to call me back? Did I bomb that interview, or was I the bomb on the interview? You know, I know what it is to wait. To be a single man of God, wondering, who am I going to marry? But then God hooked me up. Hashtag holy hookup. Come on, somebody. Don't hate on my favorite. But I know what it is to wait. God, where's the one? When's she going to come? I know what it is to wait. When's this new facility going to open up? I could talk to you a lot about that. Come on, somebody. Problem after problem, uphill battle after up. I know what it is to have to wait, to say, God, can we just move on to the next chapter? Because I kind of feel in this season that things are not moving. But can I tell you something that I've learned in the seasons of my life of waiting? Here's what I've learned. That even when I don't see God moving, doesn't mean he's not moving. That while I'm worshiping, I'm serving, it doesn't mean that God's not moving. I've learned that just because I don't see a way doesn't mean that God doesn't have a way. Ask the children of Israel when they hit the Red Sea. They didn't see no way. God says, I know you don't see a way, but I will make a way where there is. Who am I talking to already? I've learned that just because God, you don't see God's hand doesn't mean that God's not doing that. Because now I don't got one miracle child, I got three miracle childs. You better watch how hard you pray. I know that God is moving because you're sitting inside of a miracle that we had to wait for, but come on now. I've learned that God moves. And just because we don't see him move doesn't mean he's not moving. That while we're worshiping and waiting, and while we're serving and we're waiting, and while we're in the Word and we're waiting, and while we're serving and sowing and we're waiting and we're going, God, I wonder if you're even doing anything. Did you take a siesta? Did you go on a vacation? Because, and I'm doing this, I've realized that God, you are moving even when I don't see you move. And that is why I love the book of Daniel. Because the book of Daniel is exactly this. And I love this book because it shows us a picture, church, that oftentimes in the Bible, we don't always get to see. But in the book of Daniel chapter 10, we're shown this piece of scripture that is marvelous. And God literally, in so many words, pulls back the curtain to show us what's happening in the spiritual realm while we're walking out our lives in the physical realm. And he reveals to us. We could even say it's a revelation because he's revealing it to us. In Bible college, you know, I study spiritual warfare, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about this, and I want you to put your thinking caps on. I want you to stay focused because this is not a message to doze off on. You'd be like, what was he talking about? Come on, somebody, stay focused, all right? Because God pulls back the curtain, and we're shown Daniel is praying and fasting, not seeing anything happen, but stuff was happening. Because the angel said, the moment you prayed, Daniel, I was on my way. Have you ever prayed and felt like nothing was moving? If you're honest, you're like, never, not me. Come on, tell the truth. You're in church. But this verse shows us that things moved the moment Daniel prayed. Now, what I love about this story is Daniel is praying for 21 days intensely. The scripture says here, put up verse 2 if you can from the immediate team. Let me preach it from the text here. Then Daniel, verse 2. When the vision came, he said, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for how long? How long? 3 whole weeks. That's a long time when you're fasting. Some of you are like, 3 minutes. I'm like, Lord, I'm hungry. Come on now. About 3 p.m., what's gonna happen here, Lord? 3 whole weeks he had been in fasting and mourning. Now, you got to understand the cultural context while Daniel is fasting. When the Bible says he's mourning, again, this is not him just like oh, you know, I'm mourning. Like, you know, he's having a bad day, so he starts eating, you know, a gallon of ice cream, and he's watching soap operas, and he's like Netflix binging. Come on, somebody. No, he started mourning into seeking God. Because, see, mourning will always take you in two directions. Either it will take you to overindulge in the things of the flesh, or it'll take you into your prayer room to see heaven move. Come on, somebody. But Daniel, for 3 weeks, is mourning, and he's fasting. But Daniel, while he's praying and while he's fasting, he's actually walking this out for 21 days. Now, we have to understand, that, again, context. Daniel was actually one of four men that were taken, young men that were taken from Israel, the promised land, and put to have to work under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was an ungodly ruler. Let's just say he was working for an ungodly boss. For 21 days, he's believing God, but having to deal with this ungodly boss. While he's in there, the boss or the place that he's working in Babylon, he's actually renamed from Daniel to Belteshazzar. And the world renames him. He was named Daniel, but the world renames him to Belteshazzar. And that's a picture of how the world will always rename you when you're in the world. We'll always try to call you, oh yeah, Bible thumper. Yeah, that over there, that's the Rev. You know, that they're the holy one. And so he's there, And the Bible says that he's being raised up in the king's courts that are ungodly, even so much so that Babylon was a polytheistic religious culture. There was all these false gods that he could have easily fell into, these false gods of greed and lust and promiscuity. But in the midst of all that, 21 days, what Daniel was like, no, I didn't choose to give in to that. For 21 days, I was praying and I was fasting. In the midst of all that. He went under so much persecution that they end up sending Daniel into the lion's den. And they end up trying to take him out. And so Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. But thank God that day, the lions were on the Daniel fast. Get it? Daniel fat didn't eat. Lions didn't eat Daniel. Daniel, tough crowd this morning. All right, praise the Lord. They weren't fasting Daniel. Anyway, all right. But they didn't eat Daniel. And this is a picture. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but what the world's going to try to do to cause you to fall is going to become your stepping stone and your testimony of what God wants to do through your life. Maybe God doesn't want to take you out of that ungodly environment, that workplace. Maybe God wants to show himself strong through you and be a testimony to everyone around you. Daniel, for 21 days, is praying. In this environment, ungodly boss, ungodly co-workers, ungodly place. Everybody's talking about how they partied up all weekend. I went to church. I'm looking at the floor. Everyone's talking about, but Daniel's like, you all could talk about what you want, but you got to understand there's something I'm believing God for, and I want to see it move. Daniel had in his heart this passion to see God move more than moving into what he saw. He had a passion to see God move. I want to see God move. And that desire to see God move, even though he wasn't seeing God move, kept him strong in prayer and fasting. Kept him strong in seeking God. He says, I want to see God move. Verse 2, the Bible says that Daniel was mourning. That sense of mourning is a godly sorrow. Say it with me. Say godly sorrow. It wasn't a depression like everything sucks. It was a sense of like, this ain't right. He had like this lump in his throat. This is not right. Because you see, Daniel had received news from Ezra. Ezra and Daniel were living around the same time. Ezra, that the rebuilding of the walls, the rebuilding of the temple in the promised land or in God's land, because remember, he was in Babylon, was actually being oppressed and was being stopped. And so Daniel had a lump in his throat. This ain't right. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be some times in your life that you're going to wake up in the morning with this lump in your throat. You're going to be like, this ain't right. You're gonna look at your family, you're gonna say, this is not right. This can't be. You're gonna look at your future, you're gonna look maybe even at your marriage and be like, the way we attack each other, this is just not right. You're gonna turn on the news, you're gonna be like, this can't be right. You're going to scroll through your Facebook, your social media, your Instagram. You're going to talk to somebody and you're going to have this thing. If you haven't had it yet, believe me, you're going to have this sense of mourning. This ain't right. And my prayer is that when you get that you have that lump, that burden, that it causes you to say, I want to see God move. Daniel says, this is not right. It can't be. God's people can't be being oppressed. They can't be addicted. They can't be being stopped. The Bible, no gate in hell shall prevail. So instead of me complaining, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start fasting. I'm going to start seeking because I want to see God move. Anybody want to see God move? Say it with me. Say, I want to see God move. Say that. I want to see God move. I do. I want to see God move in my life. There's so many things I want to see God do. I ain't done. I'm Pastor Josiah, so I'm good. No, man, I want to see God move. I want to see God move in my life. I want to see God move still in my marriage. I want to see God move in my children. I want to see God move in that Judah bear. He need Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'll put him on that fast request twice. tried having this conversation with this young man of God recently. You know, he's 8, about to turn 9, and we try to have a conversation about girls. And you figure he's ready for this, you know, like, I'm going to try to help him, you know, set him up. Say, hey, you know, so we talked to him. Hey, son, I want to talk to you about girls, you know, girlfriends, you know. And he looks at me, he looks at us, and he said, I already know all about it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, oh, yeah, I had 2 girlfriends before. I'm like, what are you even talking? I need to, like, go on a double fast now. I'm like, oh, that was at my old school, Dad. I'm like, what the? I want to see God move, somebody. It's a crazy generation nowadays. I'm like, what in the world? I want to see God move in our church. I want to see God move in my daughter's lives. I want to see God move for my grandkids that are not born yet. I want to see God move in our generation. I want to see God move in your family, in your marriage. I want to see God move in your kids, in your grandkids. I want to see God move in your brothers, in your sisters. And I will be divinely discomforted with a lump in my throat. And I'm not going to gripe. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to seek the face of God and watch what's going to happen when a church starts seeking. Oh. I feel it now. We start seeking God's face. Things are going to move. Things are going to shift. Demonic strongholds are going to be broken at the name of Jesus. Someone clap and give God a praise like God is about to move. Hey. Give God a move praise.
Hallelujah.
I want to see God move. And so he starts praying. I got this lump and this ain't right. It ain't right that my brother's addicted. It's not right that he would be under depression. I'm going to fast for you. Daniel was good, but he knew things weren't good. I'm going to break through. I want to see God move. And so Daniel jumps into this, and he starts fasting. One day, he was like a rabbit eating celery. Come on, somebody. Water, you know, carrots. What's for dinner? Broccoli. What else? Some more broccoli. Come on, somebody. Day 2, wakes up. Oh, that cheesecake sounds so good right now. I got an amen for that one. Come on now. But I want to see God move. No cheesecake. I'm going to pray. Lunchtime came. The one day he happens to fast, the boss is taking everybody to lunch. Come on, somebody. Oh, who am I talking to? Serious? The day I fast, you want to buy us all steaks. They're eating double cheeseburgers, steaks, and you're over there with your carrots. I ain't mad. I want to see God. I feel this thing. I feel this thing. You go to the birthday party. They're all eating cake, but see, you don't understand. I got this lump in my throat. I got this burden in my belly. I got this divine discomfort that I don't not just gonna be saved to just see the devil run wild in my life and in my spouse's life and in my grandchildren. I didn't just come to church to get my life kicked around by the devil, but I came to eradicate, to break every chain because God said it, that no gate in hell shall prevail. So I want to see God move. Oh, Jesus. Day 10. It's a lot of days. You'll feel it. You're like, okay, Lord, where you at? I'm writing out this journal, put my prayer on the wall. I'm tired of carrots. But God, I want to see you move. 21 days. He gets a tap on the shoulder. He's praying because the Bible says he stood to his knees. He was prostrate before the Lord, just hands, face on the floor. Gets an angelic visitation. The Bible then says he stands to his feet. Because there is a season for you to be on your face, but there is also a season to get up on your feet and get ready to see God do something. Amen. But too many of us are on our feet before we've been on our face. Daniel's on his face before God. God says, stand up, son. Stand up, daughter. Your season of waiting is coming to an end. And the angel says something to Daniel that is going to change the way you pray. The angel says to Daniel in verse number 12, put it on the screens, I'll preach it from the text. He says in verse 12, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray, which day? The first day. He says, and you humbled yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. And I have come in answer to your, to what? It didn't say he came in answer to his complaining. It didn't say he came in answer to the negativity. The angel didn't come and answer because, you know, you've been complaining so much. Heaven was like, can you please just tell him to stop? He said, I came, Daniel, as the response to your prayer. The first day. Which reveals to us that heaven listens, but angels respond to prayer. This is going to change somebody's prayer life right now. He said, we heard you and I was sent. Write this down. Point number one. I got to give you one point. I know I've been a long time in my introduction. Pray for me. I always overstudy. I got like so many pages, but I want to be full when I'm going to be emptied. Amen. Write this down. When we fast and pray, angels are released to move on your behalf. Just say amen right there. The Bible says that the angel came in response to his prayer. Here's what happens to us. We think we can complain heaven to move. But that's not what the Bible said. The Bible says that when we pray, angels are dispatched to move. The first time they came. But what bids the question is, well, then why did it take you 21 days? Before Daniel could answer that, the angel tells Daniel what's going on in the spiritual realm. Because here Daniel was praying, and he didn't know that this angel was trying to bring him the answer. But he came in response, and he's moving while he's praying. He's moving while he's praying. But in verse 13, watch this now. We're shown the spiritual warfare. Stay with me, okay? Don't tune me out right here, because this is so important. You will lose the whole message. Because you'll be like, what was he talking about? Don't worry. The Steelers are going to win, and the Saints are going to win. All right. Sorry. Well, you came to church. Maybe your team will win. All right. Praise the Lord. Fast and pray. Angels can be dispatched. All right. Just jump. All right. Verse 13. He says, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Okay. Stay with me. This is very important. Okay. The Bible says that this angel was being dispatched. But then Satan, or the spirit of Persia, which there are angelic realms, came against this angel bringing the breakthrough. And the Bible pulls the curtain back and says there was this angelic battle going on for 21 days. The spiritual realm was fighting. There was war in the heavenlies. But then the Bible says that 21 days, there was a battle, but then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. There are three archangels in the Bible. In other words, the angels that are in higher rank of the angels. One of them is Gabriel, which was sent to Mary, the messenger. Second is Lucifer. We know what happened to him, got cast down. And the third is Michael, which, by the way, took care of Lucifer based upon what God told him to do, cast him down. But the Bible says that after 21 days, Michael came. How many days did he fast? 21. How many days on the 21st day happened? Michael the Archangel came. Because prayer releases and fasting will also bring a response. Come on, somebody. Of things beginning to happen. Here's what I believe is going to take place as we start praying and fasting. It's going to change the way you pray and fast. Is that while we're seeking God, God is going to start dispatching angels where you can't go. The angels of heaven are going to go and begin to shift things and to change things to your favor. Now, I know I want to read this to you. I got like 4 or 5 scriptures here I want to read to you because I don't want you to think, well, Pastor, where are you exegeting this from? This is not just from one text, and I'm making a whole theology exegeting based upon one scripture and isolating it. But the Bible says in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20, I want you to see how angels, God always dispatched them to be able to move God's people. Exodus 23:20, the Bible says, see, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared for you. Hebrews chapter 1 and 14, therefore angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit the salvation. Acts chapter 5, 19 and 20. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And he said, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell people about this new life. And I sense that as we pray and fast, come on somebody, God is going to dispatch angels to open doors you cannot open and are holding people prisoner. Psalms 103 verse 20, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each one of whose commands? God's commands. Yet praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do God's will. All over the Bible, I could keep reading. The Bible says he will give his angels charge over you, that though you trip, you will not fall, that they will carry you. And I've come to tell somebody is you've been trying to fight your battles, but you need to pray and fast and let God send his army of angels to fight the battle for you. This should encourage some mom, because mom, you've been saying things like this, I can't get to him. You're not going to be able to, but God will send an angel to get to him. You've been saying, I can't reach that place. God says, I know, but I got an angel who will open that. Angels, he said, will dispatch them for us. I want to see the angels of heaven's army move. One angel, the Bible says, took out 100,000 men. The Bible says that an angel rolled away the tomb and then sat on it. Jesus said to Pilate, he says, I could ask my Father in heaven to send a legion of angels and it will take all y'all out. In other words, he'll send 5,000 angels and the whole Roman Empire won't even exist. Jesus said that. I don't know about you, but while I'm praying and I'm fasting, I know I may not see God move, but I know things are moving and things are shifting and things are happening. Oh, watch what's gonna happen when a church starts praying and fasting. The devil doesn't care if we just come to church and sing Kumbaya, fill a seat and leave, but the devil starts to get afraid when a church starts to pray and a church starts to fast and a mom starts to seek God and a dad starts to go and grandparents start to break generational stronghold. The devil's like, no! Why? Because he knows, here comes Michael, here comes armies of heaven. I ain't got no, I feel like deliverance is about to come over somebody's home, somebody's mind, somebody's future, because you are seeking God. Oh, get ready. It's moving. What happened if Daniel would have given up on day 15? Day 20. Oh, you know what? This ain't working. I want a steak. Forget these carrots. All this prayer stuff. His breakthrough would have been never released. You know, people often say, well, if you pray more than once on something, then you don't have faith. Huh? No. I know that when I pray the first time, my Father hears me. The second time, I'm praying for that release. The third time, I'm praying for that thing to come into my life. The fourth time, I know it's being released. The fifth time, I know my Father heard me, and I know that angels have been dispatched. I'm just covering it until I see it. Because it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Jesus talked about fasting. I got to close this up. I'm out of time because we want to anoint people with oil. Jesus said, in case you're wondering, well, what about prayer and fasting? Jesus said in Mark 9, put that up on the screens if you can for me, team. Watch what Jesus said about fasting. Put it up there. Mark, go for it. Boom. I'll read it from my Bible. It's okay. There it is. Okay. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. So he said to them, this kind can only come out but by nothing but prayer and what? Fasting. Other translations will only use the word prayer, but that word that was used for prayer isn't just talking about a God move. It's talking about an intense prayer and fasting, because the disciples had already prayed for a demonic boy that was under the power of a demon oppression. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, how come we can't deliver this demonic oppression? And Jesus said, because you don't understand, disciples, this kind is only by prayer and fasting. In other words, the greater breakthrough is going to require a greater level of sacrifice, prayer, and seeking the face of God. This kind of thing you're going through, this kind of thing that's on your sister, this kind of thing that's on your grandchildren, this kind of thing that you're trying to believe God for that's huge, this kind is only by prayer and fasting. You're sitting in a building that doesn't happen by offering God 10-cent prayers. It happens when believers say, God, we're going to seek your face for big things. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We pray you're encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media. See you next week.